Christianity is a taught religion, and we as Christians are to teach other people the gospel. There's no question about that. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," or the whole creation. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul said, "The things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So, yes, it is our duty. It is our privilege to teach other people the gospel. But are there any limits? Are there times when you cannot teach someone? Are there some people that we are not to try to teach the gospel? What if a person won't listen? What if he scoffs at what you say? What if he turns against you in anger and he blasphemes God and he blasphemes the Bible? Are you obligated as a Christian to keep trying to teach that person and even to insist that he listen to you? Well, obviously, it's just good sense to avoid people like this if you can, because the Bible even says in the Old Testament, in Proverbs 23, verse 9, "Do not speak in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." That is the lesson. That is the principle that we're going to study today, because it is found in the Sermon on the Mount. We're looking at Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Here's where Jesus taught this same lesson. He said, "Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Jesus uses two animals here to teach the same lesson. These are two illustrations. He talks about dogs and then hogs. So let's look at the first one. Jesus said, "Do not give that which is holy to the dogs." The word holy means that something has been set apart. It has been separated for special use. Now, the Jews were very familiar with what Jesus was talking about here when he used this word holy. Remember, Jesus is a Jew. He's living under the law of Moses. He makes constant references to practices in that law, and he's talking to Jewish people who fully understood what he meant. So when he talks about something being holy, that wasn't a strange idea to them. They knew that he was talking about things that had been dedicated to God in special ways. And it's very important for us to remember the Jewish sacrificial system under the law of Moses. The Jews would bring an animal to the altar at the temple in Jerusalem. They would present that animal to the priest. He would place that animal on the altar, and then he would kill it. Then he would separate the parts of that animal. Now, parts of that animal that were used in that sacrifice, and that's why it's called a burnt offering or a burnt sacrifice, were to be left on the altar and burned. But parts of that animal were to be taken by the priest as food. So in other words, he would get some of the meat, and he would take that, and that was to feed him and to feed his family as well. Now, the illustration here then is obvious. To a Jew, the idea of taking some of that meat and throwing it to dogs would be repulsive. That would be irreverent. That would be absolutely profane. Because a dog, under the Old Testament system, was a repulsive animal. He was an undomesticated animal. He was a scavenger. He was just a filthy, vile animal. They didn't keep them as pets, and they especially didn't keep them as house pets. You do read about the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15 that mentioned dogs being in the house, but she was a Gentile. She was not a Jew. The Jewish sentiment toward dogs is one that we in our culture today might have a hard time relating to because they despise them. But try to put yourself in the shoes of a Jew living in the first century, especially these Jews that heard this at Jesus' feet, because Jesus is using two things that are a sharp contrast. On the one hand, something that is holy, that's dedicated to God, and on the other hand, something that is despised, a very lowly creature, which is a dog. And so, this sharp contrast is a powerful, it is a vivid illustration. And something else that shows how vivid that illustration was is this. The Old Testament even said that someone who was not of the priest's family, someone who was outside of the nation of Israel itself, an outsider, was not to eat of that food that was taken from the altar. only the priest and his family could eat that food. If he had a hired servant, that servant was not to eat that food. That's what the Bible teaches in Leviticus chapter 22. So in other words, even some human beings were not to eat that which was holy. So that's how we need to look at this illustration. Now the question is, what does this illustration represent? What does it mean? Well, in the first place, let's talk about the dogs. The dogs here represent people. The dogs are men or women. Obviously, I'm using the word men in a generic sense here. Men are called dogs in the Bible several times. In the Old Testament, the Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 16, that David was surrounded by dogs in his prophecy of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 56, verse 11, the prophet says that some of the leaders in Judea were like greedy dogs who could never have enough. In Philippians 3, verse 2, Paul said, "Beware of dogs." In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, Peter said that a Christian going back into the world is like a dog turning back to its own vomit. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, the Bible says, "For without," that is, outside, "are dogs and other kinds of people." That means they are shut out from the city of God that's talked about in the book of Revelation. So these are people. These are people who have no regard for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just that they're disinterested. It's not that they just don't understand and maybe they don't appreciate the gospel like they should. These are people that are antagonistic against the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's the idea of these dogs. Now let's look at the word holy. Again, the word holy means that these things are separated. They are holy in God's sight because they have been set apart in service to God, in honor of God, in worship to God. So these are spiritual things, the things of God, the things of the gospel, the Bible itself especially, but not just the Bible. This would include prayer, worship, the name of God, the sanctity of marriage. And these dogs don't respect or appreciate these things. They're like wild animals. You give these things to a wild dog and he'll tear it to pieces and then he'll turn against you. Some people are like this today. If you mention God or you mention the church, they get mad. They insult you. They mock you and may even curse you. If you mention the fact that marriage is pure, that marriage is between a man and a woman, that God designed, that God gave us marriage, they get dirty. They talk ugly about sex outside of marriage. If you mention prayer to them, if you have a prayer in their presence, if you ask them to pray with you, or if you ask them if they would like for you to pray with them or for them, they laugh at you. They ridicule you. And if you mention the Bible in general, whether it's talking about salvation in heaven or eternal damnation in hell, they turn that back on you. Now, what does Jesus say? He says, "Do not give that which is holy to the dogs." Why? Because they will turn again and they will tear you to pieces. That's illustration number one. The second illustration is about the hogs. He says, "Do not cast your pearls before swine." And again, swine or hogs were another lowly, unclean animal to the Jews. The Jews were forbidden to eat pork. So they regarded this as an unclean animal. And that's why in the Bible, swine are used as an illustration of unclean people or of uncleanness in a person's life. In Proverbs 11, verse 22, the Bible says, "As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion." There's a strong contrast here. This woman is beautiful, but she doesn't have good judgment. She's not a godly woman. She's a very immoral woman. It just doesn't fit, Solomon is saying. It's like having a ring of gold in a swine's snout. You would never do that, especially a Jewish person. So in the Bible also you find in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, that a Christian who goes back into the world is like the sow that is washed, returning to her wallowing in the mire. And so with the kind of mindset that the Jews had toward hogs, it's no wonder that Jesus mentioned the prodigal son being sent out into the fields of a man to feed swine. So on top of the fact that the Jews recognized that hogs were not the smartest animal on earth, they also despised them and wouldn't have anything to do with them because they were an unclean animal. So Jesus said, "Do not cast your pearls before swine." He's building on, he's following up on what he said about that which is holy. He talks about something being holy, and that it shouldn't be given to dogs. And then he says, don't throw or cast your pearls before swine. Now, obviously, a pearl is a valuable gem. It always has been. And in the Bible, you will find that God refers to valuable gems as illustrations of the value of spiritual things. Now, this is why the Bible says, for instance, in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11, that wisdom is better than rubies. This is why the Bible says that the trying of your faith is more precious, it's more valuable than gold that perishes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. So here is something that is very valuable. Here's a pearl that is very costly. And Jesus said, you wouldn't imagine just throwing that to a hog. What would happen if you threw a string of pearls before a hog? Would he recognize them? Would he appreciate them? Would he be able to tell their value? A pig doesn't know the difference between a pearl and a gravel. And there are some people like that. If you give them a Bible, they'll lose it. They'll throw it away. They'll put it with junk they don't even use. And if you teach some people the Bible, they will stomp on it. They will do exactly what Jesus is saying here. Don't cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet. There are people like that. If you share the Bible with them, if you try to teach them, they'll ignore it. They'll put it off. They'll treat it like it's nothing because they don't see any difference between a Bible and a newspaper. So Jesus said, with that kind of person, at least as long as that person is thinking like that or acting like that, don't waste your time with that individual. Don't throw your pearls before the swine. It's interesting that years ago, preachers used to use that kind of language. They would talk about the fact that we teach other people the gospel and sometimes they throw it back in our face. And those preachers and older Christians at that time especially would say, don't cast your pearl before the swine. They were using wisdom that comes straight from Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. So now at this point, what I want to do is to connect what Jesus talks about here with teaching in the rest of the Bible on this point. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs and see that God has always taught this principle. We've already cited Proverbs chapter 23, verse 9. Do not speak in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Solomon said, don't argue with a fool. Don't waste your time with him. Earlier in that book, in Proverbs chapter 9, beginning in verse 7, here's the advice that Solomon gives us about people like this. He says, he that reproves a scorner gets to himself a shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. Do not reprove a scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So Jesus said, you can teach a wise man. You can teach a man who is just because he's honest. But don't try to correct a scorner, because he's going to kick that back in your face. That's what Jesus is warning about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Jesus said, don't give what's holy to the dogs, and don't cast your pearl before swine. Also in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 29, verse 9, Solomon said, if a wise man contends with a foolish man. Now, this is where a wise man is getting into a quarrel. He's trying to correct. He's trying to straighten out a foolish man. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, it doesn't make any difference what that foolish man does. You can't win with a person like that. So, as best you can, try to avoid people like that. And above all, try to avoid getting into some kind of confrontation with people like that because Jesus said they're just going to turn on you and tear you to pieces. Now, what I want to do is to show that Jesus used this same kind of principle in his teaching of other people in the Bible. So let's go to Matthew chapter 10 because there's an expression here that in days gone by used to be heard more than it is today. Sometimes people quote it today, but it just doesn't seem to me like that people refer to this like they used to. It's found in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sent forth the 12 apostles, and he told them to go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here's what the Bible says that they were to do. He says in verse 11, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace be upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words. Now remember, this is in the setting of the apostles going out and preaching the gospel to other people. So what happens if people will not receive them? What happens if people are antagonistic against them? Jesus said in verse 14 of Matthew 10, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that city or that house, shake off the dust of your feet." Now that's what I was talking about a minute ago, because older Christians used to say that. If you were to go to them and say, "I've been trying to convince this person that he needs to be saved, and all that person does is just to berate me and abuse me and use harsh words toward me," then they would simply tell you, according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, "Well, it's time for you to shake the dust off of your feet and just move on." Jesus, by the way, went on to say in verse 15, "Verily I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Another good example is in Matthew chapter 15. Now here's where the scribes and the Pharisees were very critical of Jesus' disciples because they didn't wash their hands when they ate bread. And that was against the tradition of the elders of the Jews. It was not against the teaching of the Old Testament. This was against a Jewish tradition or a Jewish law. So they came to Jesus and they said, "Why do your disciples," this is Matthew 15 verse 2, "why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He that curses father or mother, let him die the death.' But you say, 'Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever you might be profited by me, and you honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition.'" Now, the best commentary on the world on this is in Mark chapter 7, because Mark chapter 7 explains what this tradition was, and he even gives us the name of it. It was called Corban. The Corban tradition, which these scribes and Pharisees had invented, it was not in the Bible, but it said this, that if a Jewish man or woman had a parent that needed their help financially, that Jewish man could take the property that he had or the money that he had and just say, "Well, I'm dedicating that to God. I can't help you." That's what the scribes and the Pharisees, these supposed great rabbis and great teachers of the people, were telling these Jews to do. Can you think of anything more ungodly than that? By saying that these people could avoid helping their own parents who were in need by simply saying, "Well, I can't give you that because I'm going to dedicate that to the temple of God or to the service of God." So it's no wonder that Jesus said that they had broken one of the Ten Commandments, which says, "Honor your father and your mother," and he called them hypocrites. In verse 7, he said, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" And notice what happens in verse 12. "Then came his disciples." Now these are the disciples of Jesus. They're on his side, but they have a question here. "They came to him and said, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?'" You've offended these people. Do you understand? Do you realize that? "But Jesus said this," in verse 14, "'Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.'" That is the same principle that we're looking at here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Jesus said, "Don't give what's holy to the dogs, and don't cast your pearl before the swine." That's what these scribes and Pharisees were, although these Jewish people looked at them as almost angels, as almost being on the level of God himself in their authority. And if you think that language is strong, consider what Jesus said about the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, verse 33. He said, "You serpents, you generation, that is, you brood of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" But this brings up a question about what Jesus means when he says, "Don't give what's holy to the dogs, and don't cast your pearl before the swine." It's obvious when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Jesus spent a lot of time debating these Jewish leaders. He argued with them from the scriptures, and I'm not talking about some kind of indecent quarrel. I'm talking about a reasoned debate that he had with them, because they would bring up something that was false. Jesus would respond from the Bible. They would respond back, this is something that you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So in Matthew chapter 12, they want to talk to Jesus about the Sabbath and about what should be done on the Sabbath and what should not be done. So Jesus responds with the Bible. He is debating them. He is trying to reason with them. You find the same thing in Matthew chapter 15, the passage that we just quoted. You find that in Matthew chapter 19, where they talk to him about divorce and remarriage. Then in Matthew chapter 23, he refers to them as being fools many times. He calls them scribes and Pharisees. He calls them fools and blind. Remember what Solomon said, "Do not speak in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." Remember what Jesus said, "Don't give what's holy to the dogs. Don't cast your pearls before swine." So why is Jesus debating them? Why didn't Jesus just say, "I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to have anything to say to you"? It must be because Jesus is not trying to convince them. He is saying this for the people who heard him, because there were many people around. There were his disciples. There were Jewish people who heard these debates, who heard these discussions. And so Jesus was not violating what he said. He wasn't going back on his words. He didn't lose his temper and forget what he had taught in the Sermon on the Mount. It's simply that when the Sermon on the Mount is taught, this is a general rule here. That is, you don't want to waste your time with these people, because there are other people, of course, that obviously would want to listen. And Proverbs 23, verse 9 is a general statement. It's a general rule of thumb. But there are situations where you're going to have to defend yourself. You're going to have to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what you find when Jesus refers to these people as being fools and blind, and he engages them. He contends for the faith. So this is just a brief survey of how Jesus put these words into practice. That is, don't give what's holy to the dogs and don't cast your pearls before the swine. Now, let's go to the book of Acts, because it's interesting here that you see the disciples of Jesus practicing this very thing. For instance, in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, on the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas encountered a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of the Lord. So you have two men here who are opposites. They're together in presence, but they are opposite in spirit. One is a good man who wants to hear the word of God, and the other one does not. The Bible says that this Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. He stood against Paul and Barnabas, speaking the word of God, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" So Paul didn't get into a discussion with him and say, "Let me go over this material again. Let me teach you what I just said to this other man." He stood against him because trying to teach this man would have been like casting your pearls before the swine. Now you find this same kind of thing later in this same chapter in Acts chapter 13, where Paul and Barnabas are in a synagogue in Antioch. Now listen to what the Bible says in Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 44. "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles.'" So Paul said, "If you don't want to hear it, then we're not going to cast our pearl before swine." He didn't say those exact words, but that's the lesson. That's the principle that he was applying here. There's no point in trying to teach these people if they don't want it. They are speaking against what he's saying anyway. They are contradicting and they are blaspheming. They're tearing at what he said. They're doing exactly what Jesus warned about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. "Don't give that which is holy to the dogs, and don't cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and tear you to pieces." That's what they were doing with Paul as far as his words were concerned. They were tearing his words or his preaching to pieces, just like wild animals. You have another example in Acts chapter 18. This time Paul is in the city of Corinth. Listen to what the Bible says. In verse 4 of Acts 18, the Bible says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles." Now, I referenced just a few minutes ago what older Christians and older preachers used to say straight from the Bible. They would say, well, sometimes you have to shake the dust off your feet. Sometimes you have to remember that you're not to cast your pearl before the swine. And they would sometimes allude to what Paul says here in Acts chapter 18, and that is, if you've done what you can, then just realize that their blood is going to be upon their own head. It's not going to be on your hands. And here's something else that Paul said later to the young preacher Titus. In Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, he said, "A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sins, being condemned of himself." There comes a time where you've done your duty, you've done all that you can do, and there's no more that really can be done without wasting your time. And in those situations, it's not just that you're saying, okay, I'm not going to cast my pearl before the swine. You're also saying, why should I spin my wheels? Why should I waste my time when I could put my time and my effort teaching someone who actually does want the gospel? Now, that's what Paul said in Acts chapter 13, verse 46. He said basically to those Jews who were trampling the word of God under their feet, who were tearing his preaching to pieces, he was saying to them, if you don't want it, then the Gentiles will. If you don't want to hear this, then others will receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's been a principle of God's teaching and God's ways throughout the generations. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to put Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 in the context here before we end the lesson today. Remember, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, that the context here is about judging. Jesus said, "Do not judge that you be not judged." And then he talks about the kind of judging that he's describing. This is hypocritical judgment. It's not righteous judgment. Remember, John 7, verse 24 says, "Judge righteous judgment." Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5 is unrighteous judgment. It's hypocritical judgment. This is a man who's criticizing something very small in someone else's life, and he has a huge problem. He has a much greater sin in his life. That's the context. But as we said, many times people take Matthew 7, 1 through 5, and they overapply it. They misapply it. They tell us that we cannot judge a situation. They tell us that we cannot tell someone that something is wrong or that someone is a sinner. And they always go back to Matthew 7, verse 1 and misquote the words. They take them out of context where Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." And here's my point. In Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, Jesus said, "Do not judge." And there are people who say that this means that you can't judge anybody about anything ever. And yet, in the very next verse, Jesus tells us that we have to do some judging. Because he said, "Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine." Who are the dogs? People. Who are the hogs? People. Here's the question. How can you determine that someone is in the category of a dog or a hog, spiritually and morally, unless you make a judgment about it? Unless you hear their words, see their actions, notice their responses, and look at their overall life and attitude and say, this is contrary to God's word. This is what Jesus is warning about. And how can you do that without judging? How can you do that without discerning? That's what I mean by judging. I'm not talking about sitting on the judgment seat of Christ at the end of time, but I am talking about looking at a situation and using God's word, taking God's word and applying it to that matter of life. That involves a judgment on our part. And if we're never to judge anybody about anything ever in our lives, then we could never obey Jesus' words, "Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before the swine."